Good morning. Good morning. Happy Wednesday. I hope it's happy for you. It's always, always happy for me. I want to thank the great team at South Coast Towing for getting me in this morning. It's always a great trip in. Chris Medeiros, of course, the man of the year, right? Man of the year for the Prince Henry Society. Very well-earned award. Does a lot, Chris Medeiros. That's why I always say, have South Coast Towing in your phone to help you out in any roadside emergency. You get in an accident, you or one of your loved ones, call South Coast Towing. 10 o'clock, we'll be joined by UMass professor Robert Waxler and his son, attorney Jeremy Waxler. I love those guys. I had Bob, Professor Waxler, for a class out at UMass Dartmouth. And I've been friends with Jeremy for years. And they got a book, and we're going to talk about that in the 10 o'clock hour. And then in the 11 o'clock hour, we'll be joined, as we usually are, by the mayor of New Bedford, John Mitchell. The first hour, I want to continue talking about the shooting in Providence. What say you? I mean, the gunman is still on the loose. It is, you know, let's recap. There was a shooting at Brown University Saturday afternoon, about 4 o'clock. Obviously, Brown University is a internationally known institute of higher education, right? We have direct links to it. My family, certainly here, the Town Square Media family. John Mitchell's daughter graduated last year from Brown University. I mean, it's a major part of higher education in America. It's a symbol, really, of America in a lot of ways. Did that have anything to do with the shooting? We don't know. What do you make of the performance so far of the elected leadership down there in Rhode Island? They've got, look, we're now learning, if you've been following these press conferences, they apparently have 1,200 cameras at Brown University. 1,200. And they have license plate readers. The questions are often better than the answers at these press conferences. There was a gentleman from a small radio station in Rhode Island. His name escapes me, but I'm going to look because it was a really good question. And John DePietro, who's the independent man, right? One After Dark. He's doing great work, too. The question from the small radio station reporter was, a couple of years ago, there was a car accident prosecuted by Nerona, the attorney general. And during disclosure, they disclosed there were 1,200 cameras along with license plate readers in and around Brown University that Brown controls. The attorney general conceded that. He said, yeah, that's accurate. But we've only got these little snippets of film. Again, I don't know what's going on down there. You don't know what's going on down there. But it doesn't really bode confidence. I don't have a lot of confidence. Do you? In other words, to big fanfare, they announced a person of interest and lifted the perimeter. Let everybody travel out of the crime scene, in and around the crime scene, only to have to pull it back late Sunday night and announce that they don't have the guy. There's all kinds of stuff going around on the internet. We got to be careful that we don't accuse innocent people. But there's a lot going on. And maybe is it possible that it was a political shooting of the young Republican woman from Alabama? Is that possible? I mean, I think anything's possible. The problem is when you don't have solid information, speculation runs wild. So, what do you think? I mean, guys, this might as well be right next door. How many of us shop in Providence? How many of us have dinner down there, lunch, on a regular basis? I mean, I got a lot of friends that live, work in Providence, as I'm sure you do as well. So, Bristol County is in many ways a suburb of Providence. Certainly, the Rehoboth, Dighton, Swansea, Seekonk, that's a suburb of Providence. So we got deep connections. All right, I got a bunch of people on hold. I see you. But let's do this. Actually, let's go to the first phone call. Good morning. Thanks for calling.
Hey, good morning, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, my friend?
I'm hanging in there. I've been tuning in to press conferences and, you know, listening to the Boston radio station. Obviously, WBSM comes first on my list. I just want you to know that, and everyone there at the station. And I listen to Providence to just try to get a sense of what's going on in the Brown University shooting and tragedy. It's coming out now out of Boston that Mayor Fred Smiley, his transgender husband, too, was at the anti-Israel-Palestinian protest holding a Palestinian flag, and he also had a post that said, "No justice, no peace." And the police chief, Providence Police Chief Oscar Perez, also two times officers voted no confidence in him. And Brown University, Christine Paxton, the president,
yes,
she's getting $3.2 million a year. It costs you $120,000 to put your kid in Brown University. They got an $8 billion endowment, and plus they're getting $84 million a year they're receiving in tax money. And like you just said, they got all of these cameras. You said 1,200 cameras?
That's what I'm told, yeah.
Yeah. I think this is a big cover-up. You got Rhode Island Governor Dan McKee, DEI. You got Providence Mayor Fred Smiley. You got Oscar Perez, and then the Rhode Island Attorney General, Peter Nerona, all of this stuff. You know, it took 4 hours to release those videos of the suspect. 4 hours after the fact. And now the FBI has their own videos that they acquired, that they were able to get, which is more high resolution than what the Providence PD, which is very grainy. And when asked, Chief Oscar Perez, if he knew about it, he had no clue, no idea whatsoever. And then the Rhode Island Attorney General was trying to tell everybody that the science physics building, that the backside is old and the newer one is, the other side is newer, so there's no cameras on the backside, but there's cameras on the front side. And then we're being told there's cameras on the inside, but there's not. This is just absolute incompetence. I think there's more to it. I think there's a cover-up. And the other thing is the Providence PD arrived 20 minutes after the shooter had killed two students and wounded many others.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think the fact that the police arrived after the crime is nothing new, right?
Yeah, but 20 minutes?
When 20 minutes is a long time. And I mean, 20 minutes, that's what it takes to drive to Providence from Fairhaven.
Yeah, because you know Brown University's a gun-free campus, right?
Yeah.
They're DEI, they're anti-police. And as a matter of fact, according to what's being said in Boston, is many of those campus police officers quit the job because, you know, there's an anti-police sentiment. And so they have a high turnover rate there. I'm just sharing that with you because that's where I'm hearing out of Boston. And, you know, and I'm listening to you to see what you can come up with.
Do you think there's any connection between the Providence incident and the MIT professor being shot to death? Does that seem suspicious at all to you?
Well, yeah, it does. And they had a caller that called in and said that these were nuclear physicists. And the one in MIT, I believe, if I heard right out of Jeff Koner, the caller said Jewish Portuguese professor that they tried to kidnap. She's in the advanced sciences of physics, laser to come up with nuclear fission or whatever it is. I mean, I'm not a scientist, so I don't know. But they also said that there was probably some kind of laser technology there, and maybe that's just speculation that I'm hearing.
Sure.
I'm just bringing that up, Chris.
Yeah, no,
there's
look.
Too many questions here.
Well, there's a lot of questions, and by the way, and thanks for the call, my friend, and the contribution. There's always coincidences, right? There's always coincidences. At crime scenes, people are in the wrong place at the wrong time. And they have nothing to do with the actual crime. It just seems that way. And this could be a lot of things, right? It could be, think about the age, right? It's a young campus. Could it be a jilted lover, right? Could it be? Of course it could be. I mean, people get killed. I mean, look, people get shot. I watch Channel 12. I watch Channel 10, Channel 6, now 10.5. You and I know that shootings in Providence are nothing new, right? They're just new in the Brown community, right? The Brown community in Providence doesn't get shot that much. So when the Brown community gets shot, it makes a lot of people really, really nervous, right? But there are shootings all the time in the city of Providence, just not at Brown University. The Brown community isn't normally a victim of gun violence, right? Not normally a victim of gun violence. All right, I see you on hold if you'd like to join the conversation. We're talking about what happened at Brown University, the press conferences, the leadership, what you know about it, what you think you know about it, 508-996-0500. In the 10 o'clock hour, we'll be joined by Robert Waxler and his son Jeremy, attorney Jeremy Waxler. The 11 o'clock, we'll have the mayor of New Bedford taking your calls in this hour. Stick around, we'll be right back.
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBSM.
Welcome back to the program. You know, this holiday season, the only store to shop at is Shooting Supply. They have all the deals that you need. Save $90 on the Smith & Wesson 9mm Shield EZ. Now, just $399. The new Sig Sauer P365X Macro is in stock. It's not in stock everywhere, but it is in stock at Shooting Supply. Come see the latest in America's most popular handgun line. On a budget, the Taurus G3C with a lifetime warranty, just $219 after the rebate. Want ammunition? Who doesn't want ammunition? 500 rounds of Winchester service grade 9mm, only $119. Now, gift cards are available without an FID for that hard-to-buy sportsman in your life. Find all the best holiday deals at Shooting Supply right in Westport, 848 State Road. That's Route 6. Or go online, shootingsupply.com. Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Hello?
Yes, sir. You're on the air.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if it was me. I was going to say something about, doesn't it seem odd that the MIT professor at the same time, but I haven't heard it much about that at all. Are they keeping that under wraps?
Well, I haven't heard much either. I would assume that they're doing what, you know, any murder investigation, they're going around his neighborhood looking for Ring Cam, all that stuff. But I haven't heard much more about it, no. It does seem suspicious.
The other thing I wanted to bring up was, you know, you had mentioned earlier when you started the show that the police have to be and the government has to be careful so they don't get sued by saying the wrong thing and accusing the wrong person. What about this poor guy that got stopped in the Hampton Inn? Immediately his name was put out there, his address, picture of his house in Wisconsin, his whole everything that happened with him in the military, his mental illness from the military, all this stuff. What about that guy?
Oh, that guy's got a hell of a lawsuit. In fact, I was talking with an attorney who's not involved in the case the day after, and he said that guy's got a hell of a case. No, I agree with you.
You know, I mean, I can understand that they want to be proud, oh, we caught the guy, but obviously they didn't have much. Because the only they said the reason they had to let him go is the ballistics didn't match the guns he had.
Yeah, that is in the worst part. I mean, look, besides accusing the wrong guy and putting all his information out there, they lifted the perimeter and the real one kept moving.
Right. They should have immediately at that point, there should have been every point in and out of that neighborhood blocked off.
Yeah.
I don't understand. They had all those cruisers, all those ambulances, fire trucks. Tiverton, Rhode Island showed up with ambulances. They couldn't have parked all those in perimeters and waited with a police officer. They had them all congregate. I was waiting to see the donut truck show up. I mean, that's how bad it was. I don't want to make it sound like I'm joking, but...
No, I know.
I mean, they were all standing around there. Every agency standing around there bullshitting with each other instead of walking and knocking on doors. They said, oh, if you're not home, don't come back to your house. Well, why not approach a police officer and say, I live at such and such street. Come with me and let's search my house. Make sure the guy isn't hiding in my house.
Right. You know,
and then they had all these students for over 10 hours locked in these rooms. They said, we're the police officer. Eventually they said that. But they let them stay there while they were all hanging around outside. They couldn't have escorted them out to a safer place. Something's not right here. There's something fishy about this whole thing.
I would agree with you there. And it may just, and thanks for the call, my friend, and the contribution of the program. Look, you and I have the benefit of 2020 hindsight, right? Looking back on it and criticizing. But I think a lot of that criticism is legitimate in the sense that, first of all, just because you have somebody, a person of interest, doesn't mean you call off everything else. What you had, in my opinion, you had conflicting motivation. You had a mayor and his staff that wanted to reopen the city. I mean, the last thing you want to do is close down retail shopping in your city right before Christmas, right? I mean, it's the last thing you want to do. Shutting down shows, concerts. It's a real economic problem, all right? And the reality of it is the mayor of Providence has an economy to think about. And Maybe you don't want to hear that, but that's the reality of it. That the mayor of Providence has got a vibrant city with people. I mean, I know people that were in Providence for concerts. People were down there going to dinner, socializing. And if I know it, there were a heck of a lot more people, right? We know that. You have the Civic Center. I don't know what they're calling it now, the Dunk, something like that. And you got people out doing retail shopping. You got that mall down there. And the mayor of Providence wanted to get his city reopened. So as soon as they told him, this is my opinion, I don't know anything from the inside, but as soon as they told him, we got a person of interest, we got some firearms, this looks good. The FBI told him that. Certainly was in on it. We saw that FBI agent come up to the microphone, say, this is your FBI and all of that stuff. And it turned out to be wrong. So you have the mayor of Providence looking to get his retail reopened, people in and out of those concert halls and the Civic Center, all of that stuff, the restaurants, everything. This is one of the busiest times of the year. So he's motivated to try to get that going. And he believes, I don't think Mayor Smiley or anybody really would have let people go out into the city if he didn't think the actual suspect was in custody. But it turns out it wasn't. Anyway, 508-996-05, back to the phones. Good morning.
Good morning, Chris.
Hey, Mike, what's happening?
Maybe I can shed a little bit of light on this subject because I have been in a lockdown.
Sure, go ahead.
North Attleboro High School. Obviously, I was there teaching some classes, as you know. And next thing I know, principal's coming over the intercom system telling everybody to go into a lockdown and shelter. All I can tell you is they practice it all the time in grammar schools, all the way up. There are certain procedures that you have to take as a teacher. There's certain procedures that the administration has to take. I was locked down in a classroom for approximately, I'm going to guess, give or take 30 minutes. In that classroom, door was bolted shut. All the windows were covered. Desks were moved to barricade both doors. There was a door to lead out into the main corridor, and there was a door leading to the classroom next door. I'm sure you know the setup. You've been in schools. Your parents have been teachers. I've never been so scared in my life. I texted my boss, and I texted my wife, and I told my wife what was going on. And I told her, and tears were coming down my eyes. I told her, I just want to let you know, if I don't come home, I love you. But I'll tell you what, Chris, I never seen so many police officers. North Attleboro State Police, any ATF, FBI, they were there out of the Providence office within 15 minutes. They flew up 95 from Providence to North Attleboro, which isn't a far thing, but I was the first person to exit that building. They told me to leave once we got the okay. I was questioned from the classroom to my car by one of the administrators of the school, even though I had my badge on. I was talked to by Massachusetts State Police, and I was talked to by the FBI. They wanted to know what I knew and what I was doing.
That's like a regular day for you, Mike.
You got me on that one, Chris. But I'm just letting you know, Parameter was set up in no time. It was incredible to see the amount of manpower
right.
that was there in that short period of time. I've never seen anything in my life like that, and I'm 67 years old, and it was incredible. So there are procedures. Now, yeah. I don't think the procedures were totally followed in what we know at Brown. Because there was a lot of students outside. That didn't happen, man. You had something. The teachers knew right away what to do. And I was in this classroom with two female teachers. And they knew exactly what to do and how to do it and how quickly to do it.
And I'm sorry you were crying in front of those two female teachers, Mike. How did you ever recover your reputation?
Let me tell you something, Chris. I was scared for my life.
Yeah.
I don't scare too easy. I was scared for my life because, listen, you know, in a situation like that, it could be your last time you see anybody.
No, I get it.
I wanted my wife to know that I loved her.
Yeah. No, I appreciate you know? That. Did it turn out to be a gunman or what was it?
No, it was at that time where they were doing multiple robocalls to all the schools. I was in Norton High School the next day, and just as I left, maybe 20 minutes, it happened there.
Did the same FBI come up to you and say, hey, Mike, what's going on here?
Yeah, they called me by my first name. They knew me. Chris, you're a funny dude, man. I appreciate your humor. I just wanted to let people know that it's not a very comfortable situation.
No,
you really don't know what's going on.
Oh, no, I get it. Thanks for the call, Mike, and the contribution, as always, my friend Mike Lima. Look, I say it all the time. It's why good people should own firearms and keep them with them. Good people with training. I mean, you can't, it's not just a casual thing. In fact, I was with a guy the other day who said to me that he was carrying his firearm in part because of hearing Hank Turgeon's phone call. Himself, this guy is also a retired police officer, who said he'd stopped carrying, but when he heard Hank's call, he started carrying again. Again, a guy with training, understands what to do. I mean, if you don't have the training, leave the gun at home. That's what I say. But we could use a few more people, men and women, who are keeping their training going with their firearms in public. My opinion. 508-996-0. What are your theories? What are your thoughts on what has happened in Providence? Taking your phone calls. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Hey, good morning, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good, Chris. Chris, it's a couple of things. It's this thing about Providence, first of all. The thing that got me that I was really surprised about, how the mayor, took the lead, and the governor just stood behind him like a buffoon. No. I agree with you.
The governor, he's very
the
weak.
The governor just came in. Yeah, the governor came in and said a couple of things. And Smiley, to me, he gave me the impression is that he's using this to seek a greater office. The way he's talking, the way he's explaining, the way he's cutting off people politely, even the police. Oh, this is what's going on. Police officer, can you please come forward, ask this question? And the governor's back there, like background. It's like, you're the governor of the state.
Right.
You should tell the mayor, get to your corner. I'm taking the lead now. I'm the governor of the state of Rhode Island. I don't get that. That's one thing that got me.
He's a weak guy.
The other thing that gets me, yes. And the other thing that
gets me. And Smiley's not. I mean, the reality of it is Smiley isn't. I mean, that people's real personalities are coming out in crisis.
Yeah. And Smiley gives me the impression he's motivated by something else. It's political with him. I could tell the way he upholds himself, the way he speaks. You know, it's this little, don't be surprised if Smiley uses this as a stepping stone. That's all I'm saying.
This is not a good stepping stone if this is the end. You know what I'm saying? In other words.
No, I know.
Right?
I get it. But I get that part of it. But the other thing that gets me about this thing, I don't trust the media on both left and right. Now there's speculation this guy might have said something in Arabic and they won't say what it is.
Right.
I don't know if that's true. But whatever it is, if any of that part is true, and if they're not releasing it because they don't want to be too political or they don't want to be, you know what I mean? It's just the way that this world is. I hope it's not that. You know, I hope it's not that. I don't know what's going on. It's this person who perpetrated this, he might be smarter than we think because the way he picked it, like the cameras, he may have knew the layout of the place. I don't know.
Sure.
I really hope it's a crackpot. And it's not something that's going to stop because, as if you know, last night in Brookline, a physics instructor for MIT, a nuclear physicist, actually he's from Portugal, okay, who's Jewish, got murdered in his home. Okay, is that an Iranian hit as retribution for the attacks in Iran? I don't know. There's something going on that. Is that connected? I don't know, because the person that was supposedly leading the class is a Jewish instructor. So you had the young woman who's head of the Republican Party. So there's a lot of things that we just don't know. And the thing that's frustrating is, Chris, that they know more than what they're telling you. And I know they can't release everything. But if they're not releasing it because they don't want to look like they're profiling, then that's going to get them more screwed than ever.
Yeah,
now,
yes.
Quickly... Chris, quickly, this thing about Venezuela, I've been watching this closely.
Okay.
And Trump has a very bad message problem, because I'll tell you why. The more I look into it, the more it makes sense. What President Trump is doing is the Monroe Doctrine, okay, of this era. Because as I look into Venezuela, China is infiltrated right now in Venezuela,
yes,
big time. Okay, and also in Brazil, which people to realize, you know that they started to control almost half of the grid, the electrical grid in Brazil. Isn't it a coincidence how Brazil is becoming more and more communist, how they let people less and less talk, how they're becoming more strict in freedom of speech and everything else? There's no coincidence in that.
No.
China has infiltrated the government in Brazil, and they're trying to do the same thing in Venezuela. Last time this happened, that we got the communists so close, was during Cuba, the missile crisis, and JFK did a blockade, and we got those missiles out of there. I think Trump, he's doing this. They're playing a game behind the scenes with China, but he doesn't want to call out China. Okay? But China is the reason why we're doing this. It started as with the drugs, because China's supporting Venezuela with all the hard material to make a lot of these drugs. He knows that. And I was doing the oil embargo. This is about China, but he's not messaging it right. This is the Monroe Doctrine of our era, and he's doing the right thing if that's the case, because we cannot have communists surrounding our Western hemisphere. We have to protect our hemisphere.
Yes, I agree with you, Paul. Thank you for the call, my friend. As always, great contribution to the program. Guys, I see you on hold, but I do have to take a quick break. It's on your mind. I want to hear about it. Remember, in the 10 o'clock hour, we'll be joined by Professor Bob Waxer and his son, attorney Jeremy Waxer. And, of course, at 11 o'clock, as usual, the mayor of New Bedford. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
Welcome back. It's Wednesday morning. We're taking your phone calls and discussing the shooting down in Providence, the Brown community, right? Shooting at Brown University. Let's go back to the phone calls. Good morning. Thank you for holding.
Good morning, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I can't complain. Thanks. Hey, listen, not to try to bring light to the situation, because it's absolutely horrible. But this whole situation kind of reminds me of the movie Jaws.
All right.
And if you remember back where the mayor was more concerned about commerce rather than catching the right shark. Because they caught a shark, they thought that they could open up the beaches, right? Open up the town.
Yes.
And everything was going to be just fine.
You're right. Right? You're right. I hadn't, you know, something, you're not making light of it. That's a perfect analogy.
Absolutely ridiculous. And these videos that they put out, which is just absolutely horrendous, of this guy, the videos are so grainy. You know, you can't drive through a red light in Providence picking your nose without them, you know, specifically detailing your license plate. But yet you get videos released of this potential suspect that are like all the Sasquatch videos that you've ever seen.
Right.
Nothing but grainy videos that are absolutely horrible. And you know what? I think they're hiding something. I really do.
I think, thank you
for the
call.
That's all I get to say about that.
No, thank you. Thank you for the call. It's a very good call. I don't know if they're hiding anything, but certainly the analogy of like it's Jaws, right? All right, let's go back to the phones. Good morning. Thank you for holding.
Good morning, Chris McCarthy.
Hank Turgeon, what's happening? Good. How are you?
Nothing. I heard my name on the radio, so I figured I'd call and just tell all your listeners that I did actually deny being in your new Republican convert calendar for next year, where Leo's going to be the centerfold. I do not want to be in that calendar, Chris. But let's
posing
talk
with
about
your pistols.
Shooters. Yeah. Sun's out, guns out. But that'll lead right into this conversation. So Mike Lima just called and gave a very heartfelt experience that he had being involved in a lockdown. Thankfully, it wasn't an active shooter scenario, right? But you heard about his fear while he was going through it. They pushed desks against the doors. They did what they were taught earlier on what to do during active shooter. And by the sounds of it, you know, first they tried to secure themselves. I bet you if an active shooter did get into Mike's classroom, Mike would fight to the end to make sure that everybody was protected. Now I want to flash back to a call I made to your show a while ago, Mike, talking about, Chris, about the New Bedford school system. And what did I tell you the superintendent had done?
Canceled the... Oh, you tell me, just so I'm accurate. Tell me.
You're right. Canceled all of the active shooter training. And instead, they have handed out an ID pass, which has some instructions on the back of it, what to do if there's an active shooter. Chris... This, every caller that's listening right now should be calling the New Bedford Public School superintendent and tell them that that's disgusting, that they are not training the staff and helping the students know what to do in this case. Mike Lima just talked about just the lockdown and how terrified he was. Why not give the current school teachers and students training so they're prepared for it and they can fight back and end a scenario like they did in Australia? Yep. There was a fruit salesman that ran up and stopped that shooter. I'm so disgusted with what's happening in Providence. The ball has been dropped by many in that case. No cameras around a Brown University, or they're saying it was because it was in the old part of the school. I'm so disgusted with that, but then it brings me to the New Bedford school system. While they're not preparing, and all it's going to be is a reaction later. Oh, we should have done this. We should have done this. It's a shame, and every one of y'all callers should be calling the school system and saying, this has to stop. Get Alice training back into the schools. Get everybody prepared so we are not victims.
Hank Turgeon, I mean, you know,
I
appreciate that, Hank. I really do. And I think thanks for the call. People should be calling their school committee members, right? Tell them you want Alice training back in the schools. That was a really shocking detail that Hank told me a while ago, actually. It's very necessary, obviously. Take a break and then we'll be right back. B-Room. Where Ava cuts Michaela's hair, but they had to change it. Ginger Baker wanted to change it. Eric Clapton didn't like those lyrics, but they have no heart anyway. We're talking about the shooting down in Providence. And quite frankly, many of us are just as vulnerable, really, if you think about it. And I still don't understand why they opened up the city when they had a suspect. In other words, you have to keep looking just because you think you might get the right guy. If you're not 100% sure, you can't lift the perimeter, but they did that. They did that. And in a crisis like this, you really see people's personalities come out. Now, Smiley, the mayor, is obviously a more in-command type of person than the weak governor of Rhode Island. McKee is a weak guy. Seems that way anyway to me. Whereas Smiley's not. You know, he's stepping forward and directing it. And I think whether it's politically motivated or just his personality, I don't know. But I don't see where he goes from here. In other words, it would have been good if they had got the guy, if that was the right guy and all that worked out. But it didn't work out. And now it's